There were four boys one day. They were two brothers and two friends from church. Sunday afternoon, they were on the brothers' parents' farm. And they were walking between the two barns, of which they saw an electric fence. And the electric fence transfixed them. They looked at them and they thought this ticking little wire was fascinating. Electric fences put up around an area to keep animals in. And as this electric fence pulsed with electricity, the boys were caught up. And the first little boy, one of the friends, said, "We should pee on it." Then laughter broke out, and all the four boys realized this was bad counsel. But then, as they saw this wire and thinking about it, they couldn't get away from it. So they began to find things to poke it with, like a stick, like a piece of wheat, like a blade of grass. But none of those things gave them the charge, the excitement that they really wanted. So finally, the older brother, who had seen the effect of animals touching this wire, particularly his horse, who put his nose up to the wire and got a shock off the wire and stuck its head up into the air and shook it all around to try to get the charge out of its lips. With its lips, as you see with horses, curled back, this older brother said, "I'll touch it." He was the brave one. Amongst the four, he was going to be the one who would touch that electrical wire. And as he got closer to the wire to hold on to it, he paused, nervous, and he said, "What happens if I touch it and I'm drawn into the wire and it jolts me and I have a heart attack?" Well, the other three, realizing that would be a bad thing to tell their parents, realized this wasn't a good thing to happen. So the older brother said to his younger brother, "Let me hold your hand. And if I fall into it, you can pull me back." Now, the younger brother, who was an electric imbecile, thought this was good counsel. And the older brother reached one hand to the wire, the other hand holding on to his brother, grabbed the wire. And they both jumped back. He, in fact, was a good conductor, the older brother. And they jumped back and they shook their arms trying to get all the wire, all the electricity out of it. Moments later, when they were in the house, and they shared this story with the farmer, with their father, he broke out in hilarious laughter, and when he finally composed himself, he said, "Did you learn your lesson?" To which the younger brother said, "Yes, not to trust my older brother." Now, that may be just a simple story to make us laugh, but it encapsulates something that's really interesting about us. And that is, we travel through this life and find things that we're caught up in or things that we like, and we have brothers and sisters, and we have friends, and we have our church family, all of which help us at times to make bad decisions and good decisions, help us through life. That's what we're living out here at this church. But as we've considered concentric care counseling over this last couple weeks, we've tried to understand how counseling works through all of us as we live out this in our lives, as we live out being a family. I said last week that family is that those people that we indelibly mark, so our instruction, our counsel, our care for them should be the best we can give. I think you'd agree. Friends that we have who we choose to travel with as well are people who are impacted by the choices we make. So this week we're going to carry on. We're going to look at church counsel, which we're in the midst of and which we practice every week. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But the last part of what we consider today will be professionals. Now, our four little boys, as they were on the farm, if they had a person like Brian Mitchell, who was an electrical specialist, he could advise them all the different way, and he actually could have taught that little electrical imbecile that this wasn't a good thing because the charge would go with them. We'll talk about these two areas. So first, I wanted to focus on our church. And I want to do that looking at Psalm 16. So if you'll read with me Psalm 16, it has some things that it guides us in terms of the interaction we have with each other. Let's read this together. Psalm 16. "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is an incredible psalm, an incredible way of knitting things together in our lives that we seek out in terms of living wisely. First thing, let me say this. David knits together three powerful things here. He talks about his own heart, his own life experiences, his own understanding of what's right and wrong. And he talks about God, in which God gives refuge, provision, even counsel. And God, as he does this, he does it through his holy people. David brings the community into it. What is David trying to say? God guides his people. It's his intent. From his word to our hearts. We work it out in our hearts, as David notes there, but God guides us. As he does that, what can we then say? We can say, I will not be shaken. We can say, my heart is glad. I feel this when I know that God has forgiven me. He gives me gladness of heart and the joy of my salvation. My body, David says, will also rest secure, and you make known to me the path of life. Fascinating what David says here, because he says God's goodness, God's fullness of life is on the path that he has for us, which we can know. Sometimes we get this misleading in our society in which, oh, God doesn't give you any direction. Yes, he does. Starts with his word. How far do you get into God's word before he gives us direction of how we're supposed to live? Not too far. God guides us. Well, what will happen? Ultimately, David speaks about this. God will not abandon you to the realm of the dead. The promise is, after this life is over, it's not over. In fact, David says, there'll be joy in God's presence. That's incredible that God does that for us, and eternal pleasures at his right hand. That's what heaven is. That's what heaven is filled with. So we take this, and I know that in terms of us understanding church, we're in a healthy way always about living with God's goodness and fullness of life, seeking out the plan he has for us, listening to the guidance from his word, and ultimately knowing that he brings us into perfect salvation. These are powerful promises that we as a church have this awesome calling to live out, to help each other with our paths. There's many things we can learn, especially as we seek to integrate God's love and integrate his counsel for each other. We have in our church family, in varying degrees, we have people who have professional training in counseling. And these people that have had professional training in counseling, all of us, as we've been talking about in this series, counsel in ways. It's hard not to. But there are some people in our congregation who have had professional training in counseling. And those people can help us in a deeper way in understanding who we are. They include Denise Handy, and Don Hepburn, and Nancy Hudden, and Pat Jewell, and Mel Finley, and perhaps others that I am not aware of. I apologize. Solomon was the person who wrote, "A wise man, wise woman has many counselors." These individuals are in our church. And so I've said to them before that we want them to be able to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you want to speak with one of them after the service or another time, they certainly have the capability to be able to refer you to someone or to help you with some of the other questions. But we deeply appreciate and deeply thank you for your contribution today. Thank you.